drugs and gambling, baby. Look out. Sports Radio FNZ. It is NBA Draft Day, and we will talk draft coming up at 7:20, and we're going to do it throughout the show, obviously, as we get you ready for tonight. We got so much going on, though. We've got to pay tribute to the great Bruton Smith, who passed away yesterday. The man behind Speedway Motorsports, and NASCAR Hall of Famer. We'll do that with Doug Rice from PRN coming up at 8 o'clock. We got Mike Golic Sr. to talk some football at 7:40. So we got a lot of stuff, but there will be tons of draft on the show, including coming up at 7:20. But I just want to talk a little bit, Bone, about this online and mobile sports gambling situation in the state of North Carolina. And does it upset y'all that this, you know, did not get through the North Carolina House yesterday, that it was killed, and I guess it's not a possibility again until next year when we can revisit it. And they were very, very conflicted in the House on this. There were two proposals, right, that had to go through for this, or bills to go through in order for, you know, the online and the mobile sports betting on the apps and stuff to be legalized in the state. And the one they altered to say that you cannot bet on college sports. They're afraid of point shaving. One of the representatives brought up a point shaving things at State and UNC in like the 50s and said they're afraid of point shaving with college athletes. So I don't think
we have to worry about State losing on purpose.
They literally they do that on their own. They do that on their own. So
Finder just fist bumped me for that one.
They altered the bill to where it was no college betting. And that first bill passed, but then the second one had to go through too in order for the legalized gambling. The first bill passed by one vote. The second bill lost by a vote. That's how conflicted they were. So as a result, there's nothing. We don't get, you know, the only places you can wager on sports in the state are the out west, the two, even more west than us in the state, the two Harris Cherokee casinos. Yep. And I think they're going to get it going at Catawba Two Kings here soon. But that's it. You've got to go to those, you know, casinos. So here's my question. Like, when you hear about this and you see all these other states, and by the way, I know a lot of people said, I saw Jonathan Jones tweet out, oh, it's the Bible Belt. I had a feeling this wasn't going to pass. But Tennessee has passed it. Virginia has passed it. Arkansas has passed it. Louisiana, everything's legal in Louisiana, so I could see why they passed it. But like, corn dogs and gambling, baby, look out. There are southern states that have passed these, you know, the gambling on apps and the mobile and online sports gambling. Does this tick you off? Does this annoy you? And I'm asking this to all sports fans, but you, Bone.
Yeah, it does. It's annoying because I don't really understand quite the negative of what this provides. It brings in so much money. Look at the state smack that has it already, and the money and the revenue and what it does. Are those states hurt by this being there? How does this hurt anything? Credit to reporter Bennett Conlin, who tweeted out yesterday that one legislator said he believes Jesus would vote against the two sports wagering bills, so he'll do the same. So, first of all, we don't know what he would vote on this thing. But anyways, that's one reason there. So the reasons why some people are voting against it, I don't know. Why are we not progressing forward like so many other states? Credit to Flounder for bringing this up before the show. We did not get a lottery here until 2005.
Didn't want it.
We were 25, 30 years behind many. Connecticut, Pennsylvania, we looked up where we're from, had lotteries in 1971. Yeah. So why are we so far behind on some of these things?
I think it is. I think there is an element of the Bible Belt here and folks that just think it's, you know, not clean. It's not something that they want to give the blessing to. I do think, you know, you mentioned the guy that literally brought up, I think this is how Jesus would vote. I do think it's the, you know, Christian portion of the Republican Party that I do think has a problem with it. But I also,
is it the connotation of when people hear the term sports gambling, sort of the old school mentality of bookies and breaking kneecaps? Is it that mindset that people can't get out of their head, that it's more of a different sort of gambling now than it was before with online gambling, FanDuel sports books, those things? Are people just stuck in the past when they think sports gambling and all the negative stuff that goes with it? Is that part of the problem?
I think some people just think it's evil. I just think some people think it's hence the lottery not coming here till 2005. I think it's just a very
Someone said your wife voted against it.
Here's the deal. Somebody told me yesterday they're doing you a favor, Mac. Don't you dare complain about this. Not letting you bet on sports is a good thing for you. Not if I go against my picks. I was going to make a king's ransom in this state. Here's another thing too, though, and again, I'm asking everybody out there, like, what do you think the opposite is? There legitimate opposition to this? Because my whole thing is, Bone, this is free tax money for the state. Like we've done with the lottery, you can put it towards education. I know part of the money in this bill from sports gambling was going to go towards the health department and gambling addictions and stuff like that. They were going to try to put it towards that. Help pay teachers more with this money. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with money that it's just a free source of revenue for your state in tax dollars. But we turn it down. Like, why are we turning down that free money in the state?
I don't know.
It drives me crazy. And I saw it when I was living up in Maryland when they were battling. They eventually now have sports betting, casinos in Maryland and everything. But I saw it up there, you know, when they battled about it in the past. And I just don't understand why you wouldn't want this money to help your state.
If you did the sheet of paper thing, negative positives, wouldn't the positive side be much deeper for what it can provide than the negative side? If you just rank that, the good and bad of all this, won't the positives largely outweigh whatever negative stuff's brought up here? I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't get why this wouldn't be. All these other states are doing it. Why aren't we?
Why?
It makes no sense.
It makes us look like we're behind. You know what I mean? These other states. Like, again, it's Tennessee, Virginia. It's two bordering neighbors of ours that are also southern states that have done it. And they're going to reap the rewards financially from it. And it just looks like we're not progressive as a state. And here's another thing too. Like, a lot of people are saying, Mac, it's Republicans, it's the right and all this stuff. But I also think there's a liberal component too, where, because I've seen quotes from a couple of Democrat representatives where it's like they think, you know, folks in low income families and low income individuals are going to lose all that they have by doing this. Like, I think there's also a liberal protect. We've got to protect folks from themselves. And this gambling is going to ruin their lives. It's us to protect them. I think there's also that mindset involved too. So maybe those two schools of thought, the religious right, and then liberals that feel like we cannot let you, have this liberty to do. But I mean, as adults, are you not responsible for your dang self?
No, right. It's Mac and Bone on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ talking about at least no legal sports gambling. I'm sure, Mac, people will find a way other ways, but no legal sports gambling in North Carolina for at least a year. Here's a tweet to @MacWFNZ, @TBoneWFNZ from Buzz City Dad. North Carolina reps know too many people are going to lose money betting on Sam Darnold. And then, with that said, they'd have to legalize marijuana to cope with it all.
And tweet. multiple people are saying if you want free tax dollars, North Carolina also should legalize marijuana. That's a whole nother discussion. We'll save that for July.
Could you imagine Mac being able to bet against Sam Darnold? How happy Mac would be with a 41?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we could really. Are they afraid we're going to kill the house here by betting against the Panthers? Are they afraid that would be too many people would make money off the house in the state?
Could you imagine how much money we could make off Hornets overtime games last year?
I'll tell you what's interesting to me.
Happy as hell, I'm rich.
I'll tell you what's interesting to me, though, is I'm looking at the text line, and we're talking about the gambling bills to make mobile and online sports gambling, you know, legal. It failed yesterday, and we've got at least another year until it can even come back up again. We're on a sports show, so I would think most people in our audience would feel like this is ridiculous. Why can't we bet on sports here? It's 2022. But there are plenty of people in our text line, Bone, that are going after us.
Really?
Go back. Someone told us to go back to Ohio.
I've never been to Ohio. I
am proudly not from Ohio, all right? I'm not that proud of Pennsylvania as my home state, but I'm not from Ohio. I'm proud of that. Another person, go back to where you came from if you want to place bets. There is this defiance towards us for criticizing our state legislator for not getting with the times and passing legalized sports gambling. It just surprises me because y'all are sports fans.
It's weird.
Do you not want it?
I don't know.
Like, somebody on here
would
does
probably also lower your taxes, you dumbasses.
Well, again, it's not
like come on.
I wouldn't
on,
go
man.
That far. You really think they're going to lower our taxes? It's just another
it's
form
another
of revenue.
It's another source of income.
Like, it's another form of revenue.
Who
though.
Gives a damn?
Use it for roads. Use it for education, like they do with the lottery. Like, there's plenty of good things you can do with that money. I'm not naive enough to think Flounder all of a sudden they're going to say, "Well, we're making this money. We're not going to," because they're going to take.
Here's the thing: do they think that if they legalize sports gambling, that they're going to come to your house and force you to bet on the Panthers game for said week? Like, if you don't want to bet, just don't bet. Who gives a damn if somebody else wants to? Who cares if your neighbor Mike wants to bet on the game? It doesn't matter.
I've got a texture here.
I think there's an old school mindset with some people of what when they hear, I'll say it again, when they hear sports gambling, they go back to some shady back alley, kneecap, didn't pay your bets.
Gambling in general, I think.
Yes.
I think gambling
is old school mentality.
Again, I just think some people think it's evil. Like, I think some people think it's evil. It's sinning. It ruins lives. Like, I've got someone telling us, like, Mac, do you not know how many lives that gambling has ruined? But again, so that's interesting to me.
So does alcohol.
But that's the thing that's interesting here to me, though, is it's weird. There's this weird combination of a very liberal mindset of we must protect people from themselves, right? And the government must protect you and not let you make the choice to sports gamble. That feels to me a liberal mindset. But then there's the conservative kind of Christian right that is like, for example, maybe not just Christian, maybe just religious right. Josh Lilly says we're a Baptist state. This is never going to happen. So it's a weird combination of, you know, this religious right that just thinks, no, that's toxic. But then there's also that liberal mindset of, we're the government and we must step in here and not allow you to do this horrendous behavior. We're protecting you, you know? So it's intriguing to me, the opposition to it, because all I see is two things. One, I see tax income to the state that can help improve our state. That's the first thing I see. And the second thing I see selfishly is being allowed to bet on sports, which I would like to be able to do legally from time to time, you know?
The state now calls radio host and Representative Chris McClain to give us his side of stuff.
I like her.
I don't know. It's a fascinating issue. It really is. It sucks to me personally, and I am surprised a lot of you think it's a good thing that we did not go with it. One last thing I wanted to say. You know what else was involved here? Not just being able to go on the DraftKings or FanDuel apps and bet.
Yeah.
And do it online and stuff. But Bone, also the Panthers, the Hornets, the Speedway, like – the Hurricanes, all these entities were going to be involved. They were going to put, you know, gambling windows at all these sports facilities. So you're going to be able to go to a game, put down a bet on the Panthers game. You put your anti-Sam Darnold bet down right there. And you go out the door and go watch Sam. So there were a lot of people involved. I thought it was going to be cool. We got to wait at least another year.
And how many areas, Mac, truly have as many college programs than we have? South Carolina teams, North Carolina. We have so many college teams to go with our pro teams. It just made so much sense, especially from the college standpoint of we have so many Division I teams. Like they're just it did. To me, it made so much more sense than did not make sense.
But like
also, Flounder's trending nicely on the text line right now.
Oh, people are mad at Flounder. Other way, people are going to be mad at me. This guy says, Mac discussing political ideologies is one of the most comical things I've ever heard in my life. Well, bite me, sir. Bite me. What political ideology wants you to bite me? Because that's the one I'm in favor of. That's the side I'm voting for right now.
You're in the bite me party.
Yeah, seriously. That's where I am. The party that will come out publicly endorse this guy biting me will get my vote. Don't care what else you stand for. All right,
we've really unraveled here.
I thought I was trying to explain both sides. There's opposition on both. I was trying to explain it. Whatever. All right, anyway. It's frustrating.
And I trust, Matt, that these people that are not allowed to legally gamble now, they're not gonna legally do it at all. I promise you that. There'll be no illegal gambling at all around
That's
here.
That's the thing, too.
By the way,
people
out to
will just find ways to do it. And here's the
shout
thing.
Shout out to our guy AC on the text line.
What's he say?
Oh, no,
AC's got to be heartbroken, lying down in the fetal position over this right now. Bone, here's the thing, though. You're right. People will go find a way to sports bet, and the state will get no cut of it. Get yourself a cut, y'all.
Exactly.
All right, anyway, I got to shut up.
No, you're fine. When we come back, we talk Hornets. It's draft day. What can the organization do to pump you up tonight. Two picks, one pick, a trade. What's on your mind on draft day? It's Mac and Bone on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone with you. All right, let's get back to our comfort zone there. I got called out for trying to describe different political ideologies. I said some things, Bone, that could result in me getting my rear end kicked by that guy. So let's move on, Bone, to the Hornets draft, shall we?
We have to have equal time for the opposite of the bite me party.
People are signing up for the bite. You brought people together, though.
I will say this. I am a unifying force. I had people tell me that they are on the Republican side of things, but they will back the bite me movement. And they're also liberals that said they will back the bite me movement for getting angry at this guy.
Someone said Mac's bite me party slogan is make America fat again. Ishmael said that.
I feel like me and America are already there. We are already there.
Oh, God.
All right, let's talk about this Hornets draft, man. What is the best combination? We have picks 13 and 15. Like, do you have a dream combination? And the same thing goes for everybody that's out there listening, bite me party or otherwise. Feel free to chime in if you're a Hornets fan. Like, what is the best combination for what they could potentially do at 13 and 15 tonight, Bo?
If they're actually going to use both, and within league circles, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. But just for the sake of answering your question about the combination, Sohan from Baylor, 13, Mark Williams, 15. That's the only real combo of two guys, you know, within those two picks right there, that I would say, you know what? Despite us not necessarily needing two more young guys in a second-round pick, if they got Sohan for what he provides, and we need that desperately, attitude, aggression, toughness, and a skilled guy, and Mark Williams at 15, it's hard for me to be angry, Matt, coming in tomorrow. We'd have to move some other parts around, maybe last year's guys. I don't know what we would do. If they got Sohan and Mark Williams, I'm not coming in like, oh, my God, I can't believe we used both picks. That's the one combo. If they got those two guys because of value, their skill sets, and what we need, hard to be mad if they use those two picks on those two guys.
If it was possible. I like that one, too, because I've been talking about Sohan for a while, just being kind of that
Sohan
irritant.
Sohan or Sohan?
I don't know. I go with whatever day it is.
I don't know
tomato,
either.
Tomato. I go with
I'm
either one.
I'm good with Mark Williams' name.
I like both those guys. I want picks to help on defense. I want to help the defense tonight. That's, to me, what I'd like to see accomplished. And to me, the best scenario is a double big man night. You draft Mark Williams, and then you get Miles Turner in a trade. If we do that tonight, and I don't know if people think that's excessive. I don't know if people think that's overkill. Like, would you back the double big man evening where you end up with Mark Williams and you end up with Miles Turner in a trade?
I don't know if I'm comfortable with calling it that, but yes, I back you.
I want two big men tonight, all right? I'm not afraid to say it.
Bring me all your big men this evening. Then if you got your vet starting big, drafted Williams, then you can move Mason. You can Kai Jones. All of a sudden, if you draft a young big with a vet, you can figure out, hey, is he part of? Then you have options with the other guys.
Maybe Kai Jones is a piece, an asset.
Yeah,
like you said, Mason. You know, there's reports out there that they want to deal him. He's on an expiring contract, so at least you'd have that going for him out there on the market. I just think that combination, and I don't know. Everywhere you look, you see these Miles Turner rumors. But the one thing that I keep being reminded of, this is like go round 646 of the Miles Turner Charlotte rumor. So like, and somebody did literally report, and I forget who it was. Who the heck said this, Bone? I was reading a tweet to you yesterday in the office after the show.
John Hollinger.
John Hollinger said, I know this is the 36th time we've heard this, Charlotte and Miles Turner. But he says this sounds, from what he's hearing, more serious than the past. If they could pull this off, and I would even throw Jalen Duren in, although I prefer Mark Williams. I've been YouTube scouting a lot of Jalen Duren recently. The guy is more athletic. He's more fluid in his movement than Mark Williams. I would even agree with what Jeff Goodman said yesterday, which is Duren has a higher upside, but Williams is more ready right now. I prefer Williams because I just think he's the better defensive player, you know, the better defensive force.
He measured incredible. He's 7'2" at the combine.
He's got a standing reach of 9'9". He's 3 inches away from the basket, just standing there flat-footed and reaching up. Like, his length's unbelievable. You watch him in drop pick-and-roll coverage, which is a trendy way to guard the pick-and-roll nowadays. He's amazing. Finishes lobs, but I mean, during finishing lobs and finishing on the fast break is special. One of those guys in Miles Turner would be freaking amazing.
There's a shooting touch there. There's a little bit, maybe step out.
Talking about Williams now, right?
Yeah. There's some, both guys, either guy you get, Mac. I think that different skill sets. You're right. I prefer Williams, but if you got Durin, then I don't think you're Mac. If you got Miles Turner, one of the bigs we're talking about, and you moved Gordon Hayward for Miles Turner. So Miles Turner, one of the bigs, and you move Gordon, that's the equivalent of lovemaking. Like, that is incredible. That is a night for the ages. Right.
I wasn't going to go that far, but I feel you on that one a little bit.
I've seen it on the internet, yeah.
Mac, I looked up the first trade rumor of Miles Turner to the Hornets, and apparently Glenn Rice was involved in that trade.
Miles Turner was a three-year-old, and Hornets scouts were eyeing him. They were eyeing him at the age of three. It's been going on for so long.
If you draft the young big, pair him with Miles Turner.
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for.
Because Miles Turner's on an expiring contract.
Yeah,
so
1 year.
If he doesn't play well, or he prices himself out even, if he goes crazy, you go, all right, well, we kind of have a plan. This is going to be a crazy idea, Mac. Hear me out here. The Hornets would have a plan in place. How about that?
That's crazy, man. How about with the coaching hire? They got a plan in place there for that coaching hire?
Settle down, fella.
Oh, D'Antoni apparently.
That post-draft presser when they say, we're now going to bring in Coach? All right, well, we'll keep trying.
I would pay money to, like, Nick Carboni or Ashley Strohline or somebody that's doing the presser after the draft tonight where just Mitch is there, right, because we don't have a coach. Just ask a question to Coach. I'd like to ask this question to Coach. Coach, what do you think of this pick?
I heard that they're
just
gonna
be a total wise guy.
I heard that they're gonna basically do like Lassie. They're just gonna say Coach and see who shows up.
You know, Mike Ristaldi of the PR department, great guy. He's got a sense of humor. He listens. Here's what you need to do on the presser. Remember when Cosmo Kramer would drive Mac with the mannequin in the car?
They need
to put a mannequin at the podium.
Here he is. He's Coach, everybody. Doesn't want to talk tonight, though. He's just here to observe. Mac and Bone with you. What is the best combination of things we can acquire with 13 and 15? I'm really in favor of getting a Williams or a Durant, but I also would prefer that with that other pick, whether it's 13 or 15, that we try to acquire a vet. Miles Turner feels like the best option to me. A fair amount of y'all are saying they don't like the Miles Turner idea because of his injury history. Somebody pointed out to me yesterday, and I didn't realize this, that he had missed more games over the last three seasons than Gordon Hayward, which is obviously something. There definitely is a health issue with him there. It's a one-year commitment, though.
Yeah.
I would take a shot at it for 1 year. And here's the thing, too.
Well, you trade.
He's going to be in his contract year. Yeah. He's going to be motivated, Bone, to earn that tenner. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be motivated this year. So I feel like he would be all in for you in this final year of the deal.
Now, is there any worry that you trade the always durable Gordon Hayward, Mac, for Miles Turner? Because to me, it's like, all right, well, if he's going to be injured, well, then we'd have a guy here that's injured as well. So at least maybe he's younger, right? What is he, 7 years younger than Gordon Hayward?
People are mad, by the way, Bone, that we don't have Montrezl Harrell in our plans, a couple of people. Montrez can be at least a backup big. Why are y'all trying to go get two? I mean, dude,
He's not a rim protector big guy. He's got energy. He's got a role.
He's small for that spot.
I wasn't enamored with it. There were moments, but I wasn't like,
I didn't think it went great. I thought it went all right.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. I would like to have two rim protectors simultaneously, two rim runners. And Miles Turner's not a rim runner. I can't put it that way. Like, that's the one thing he doesn't do. The template for the kind
of... He doesn't rebound well either.
Okay, two things he doesn't do. The template for the big that we're looking for in the draft, the Durant and Williams template, is the guy that blocks shots, alters shots, finishes lobs from mellow, pick and roll, run to the rim, stuff like that, right? Now, Miles Turner gives you the shot blocking, but he's a stretch big. So there is a little compromise there. Again, the Miles Turner thing might just be for 1 year, though, Bone. And if we get rid of the Hayward money, and then Turner's $17 million off the books next year, and Mark Williams looks like he's the guy of the future, or maybe you keep Kai Jones with these guys, and maybe it's Mark Williams and Kai.
I don't know. I would love to see two biggins tonight, Boney, added a vet big and a rook big.
And per our new boss, Jeff Ricker, the guy I call Jazzy Jeff, and he's not responded one time to me saying that, but I'll call it again.
He's PD Jazzy Jeff.
PD, yeah,
because he's our program director. We call him PDs.
Gotta be the PD
Jazzy Jeff.
PD Jazzy Jeff told us he came from Indy,
yeah.
So he has experience with Miles Turner, was raving about the character of Miles Turner. So, like, pretty good dude to bring in here as well.
In fairness, though, was skeptical of him as a player, right?
I know. I was avoiding that part.
Oh, okay. No, I was trying to give you. He gave us an honest assessment.
Because we talked about a little bit about the weakness of rebounding and rim running. We know that. But I was just trying to say that from a character point of view, seems like he's pretty good dude. So that would be a good thing.
Multiple people now going after the Montrez fans in our fan base and on our text line because of the 3 pounds of weed situation. This dude says, we going to reward a guy for getting caught with 3 pounds of freaking herb? I mean, I don't want to act like I think that marijuana is some huge deal for my NBA players. 3 pounds was an eye-opener, though. Once my non-weed educated self was educated last week, Bone, on just what exactly was happening with 3 pounds, it was a bit of an eye-opener.
His haul weighed more than Chet Holmgren.
Dude, you are on a roll today, man. You're feeling it.
It's draft day, baby.
Bone's like MJ against the Blazers in the finals. Right now, Bone's just shrugging like, I got it going. I don't know what's happening.
Do you think PD Jazzy Jeff will ever respond to us calling him that?
No. Name? Matter of fact, he probably just vomited if he heard the nickname that we're trying to give him.
When we come back, a Radio Hall of Famer joins us. We're not in the Radio Hall of Fame. This guy is the great Mike Golic, now of DraftKings. Joins Mac and Bone to talk Baker Mayfield, Jimmy G, and all things Carolina Panthers. Mac and Bone on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
Radio FNZ Mac and Bone with you. It is NBA draft day. The Hornets got 2 picks. We're trying to figure out what they're going to do. What do we want them to do? Should we be afraid of tonight? Should we be pumped up? We will talk through that throughout the show today. Jerry Valancourt, going to give his thoughts on what to do with the draft coming up 9 o'clock in his usual Thursday gathering. But we got to talk a little pigskin right now, and we got to do it with someone that played the game in the trenches, Bone. We played the game on Xbox. Slightly different.
My favorite Golic when I ranked him out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you told. Did you tell Junior that last week on Twitter?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
He is a legend in his business of radio as well, and we respect him for that. He is Mike Golic. He is obviously a great analyst of all sports in the game of football, and he's now teamed up with DraftKings, and they're, of course, doing great things. Mike Golic joins us here on FNZ in Charlotte. Mike, we appreciate it, man. How you been?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. And I was a stud on Tecmo Bowl. There was one year on for the younger generation out there. They may be going, what the hell is that? But there was one year I think I had 26 or 28 sacks in Tecmo Bowl, and I was not known as a pass rusher, but I took that. I took that to the team to try and renegotiate my contract, and it didn't work.
That was worth a shot. That was worth a shot.
Yeah,
Were you and your brother both on Tecmo Bowl together at the same time?
Yes, we were. And Bob and I, now Bob played, 13, 14 years. He had like 19 or 20 sacks. I played 9 years and had 11 and a half sacks. Most people thought that was bad. We thought it was consistent, little over one a year. We would have a sack contest every year, my brother Bob and I, who would have the most sacks. And if somebody got like 2 sacks, that was like a major lead.
It was over. It was a wrap. Once one of the goalies got the 2, you're like, that's it over.
We were run stoppers.
Hey, Mike, the biggest thing here with the Panthers, obviously, is like the Baker Mayfield watch. I mean, it won't end almost to the point where we just need some sort of ending to this. Do you feel, and there was a report yesterday that, hey, don't count out Seattle. Justine Anderson had this report. How do you feel? Like, is this a move that the Panthers should do? Do you think they should stick with Sam for the final year of his contract? How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I'm looking first at Cleveland. Deshaun Watson is going to get suspended. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of how long. so do you hang with the quarterbacks that you have there, which are certainly some quality quarterbacks, or do you hang with Baker Mayfield and say he's going to fill in the spot, you know, because they have a good team. Oh, by the way, they have a good team.
Yeah.
Good receivers, an excellent offensive line, even though they had lost their center. Their defense between Ward in the secondary and Garrett on the line. They have a team that can win now. So you don't want to mess around with the quarterback position too much. But you know Deshaun is not going to be there for part of it. But you also worry about, listen, Baker Mayfield can be a moody guy. So how does that play? They have to take into consideration all of that. So there's part of me that wonders if they hang on to him. As far as trading him, right now I know the hang-up is going to be, I know you guys have been involved in it, is Cleveland doesn't want to pick up enough of the salary, and if you're Carolina or Seattle, you want them to pick up the salary. You know, you got a good chunk going to Darnold, so you don't want to have to pay a lot of Mayfield salary. And you look at Carolina. So do they make that move? Is Carolina ready to win now? Are they? I think they're ready to go in a better direction, but is it ready to win? Are we saying Darnold, and if you bring in Baker Mayfield, they're going to be the quarterbacks of the future? Listen, so as an analyst, I have to analyze, right?
Yeah.
And I never mean anything personal. I didn't like where Sam Darnold came in the league. I had questions about him at SC, and I know a lot of people said it was more on the Jets than on him, but he's had a chance in Carolina. I'm not sold on him. I would like nothing more than for him to play great and prove me wrong. I'm not in the CC. I told you so. I would love players to play well, but I don't see it with Sam. So I don't think Sam is a future quarterback. Is Baker the future quarterback? You're banking on that. If not, you've picked Matt Corral, who I covered in college, who's got a heck of an arm. But he certainly has a learning curve with that fast-paced offense he had. What's going to go on in the NFL? So it's a tough call there. Do you trade for Mayfield? I would only do it if you're barely paying anything. But in all honesty, I don't think Darnold or Mayfield are the future quarterbacks of Carolina Panthers down the road. And, oh, by the way, Matt Rhule kind of needs to win now a little more than he's been, or he's going to be looking for a job.
We're talking to Mike Golic now with DraftKings, the Radio Hall of Famer, on with Mac and Bone on 92.7 FNZ. Mike, Mark Schofield of USA Today wrote a piece on what a great match Jimmy G and the Panthers would be. Does that pairing here in 2022 make sense to you?
Well, same thing. I mean, he's owed even more, correct? I'm never sure. The
24
number,
million.
Like 24, 25 yeah. mil. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you're talking high 40s or mid to high 40s for your quarterback, you know, between the two of them. Listen, the thing about Jimmy is, Jimmy, everybody feels Jimmy can get you to a point. Jimmy did lead the team to a Super Bowl. We all remember the overthrow, which could have been a difference. He also has been nicked up a lot. So do you take that chance? And I'll say this, too. Is Jimmy G, do we look at him and say, okay, he's the future for the Carolina Panthers? That's the thing. I think you're looking at pretty good, quote, K quarterbacks to pretty good quarterbacks. But I don't think Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Jimmy G, you're pointing at that person and you're saying, okay, he's our quarterback for the next 8 years. You're kind of hoping Corral is, even though he went lower in the draft, you know, if he's only the one went in the first round, but you're kind of hoping on that because it's all about the potential of what you haven't seen as opposed to what the potential of what you have seen. And we've seen Darnold, we've seen Mayfield, we've seen Garoppolo, and everybody's kind of like, eh. And then you put the price tag on it, and you're really like, eh.
It's true. It's a double eh when you look at the price of these quarterbacks. But that is our world here in Carolina. Hey, Mike.
Oh, boy, is it.
The last thing I want to ask you, Mike, is about a team that I think we are keeping our eye on because I think the Panthers look at the Saints. And I think, Tampa still with Brady back still seems to be, you know, the class of the division. But I think we would love to find a way to, hey, is there any way we can get that second spot in the South? But heck, the Saints last year, even with Winston out and their quarterback mess and injury mess last year, they almost made the playoffs. How good do you view the Saints this year? And can the Panthers catch them? Or is that a no-go for us?
Me personally, I do not think so, that they can catch them. Listen, a lot depends on your health. Yeah. And Christy McCaffrey, I was at the game. I called the game for Westwood One in Houston when it got hurt. And, I mean, you just obviously see how much they're reliant on that offense. And I know Ben McAdoo would like to not have it so much on McCaffrey and have it spread out elsewhere, but the guy is such a stud, so we'll have to wait and see. I don't think you guys will catch the Saints. Winston, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in 7 games. You knew Sean Payton was going to help him not turn the ball over more. I think one of the big things they did is they kept their coach, Doug Allen, in-house, so they didn't really change anything. If you can get Michael Thomas back out at wide receiver, you still have Kamara as well. You lost your left tackle in Armstead. But I still like them on the defensive side of the ball as well. So I still think they're the second team in the NFC South.
Mike, do you still believe that Christian McCaffrey can reach the level he was once at, or do you have serious concerns as a running back, the wear and tear, that we're just never going to see the guy where he was before?
I mean, we have to look at that position in the wear and tear, right? That is,
yeah.
We saw this offseason the cornerback position and the wide receiver position take an unbelievable jump in money. We're not going to see that at the running back position. There's just too much wear and tear. Then especially for a guy like McCaffrey, who you want to give the ball because he's great, but he touches the ball in so many ways, whether catching it or running it, it just takes a toll. I mean, the athletes are just unbelievable, and they just take so many hits. I know he keeps himself in great shape. I know he was talking about the advice from Marshall Faulk to actually have some layers of fat on you. Listen, that's the way I played my whole career, was layers of fat on me. I didn't cramp up a whole lot because fat don't cramp. But, you know, that's going to be the big thing with him. His production and his talent is unquestioned. It's all about, can he stay healthy and not get nicked up? And he is one hell of an athlete. But sometimes when you're that Ferrari and you have a little bit that goes wrong with a Ferrari, it can put you on the shelf. Or if you have that, you know, F-150, you can, you know, smash it up a little bit and it can still run, but not as good as a Ferrari.
That's beautiful. That's a perfect analogy.
Fat Doug Crab is an incredible tagline.
Well, listen. By the way, it's true.
Oh, it's true. It was well said. It was well played. It was awesome having you on, Mike, man. Absolutely loved your work over the years. And we appreciate the insight, even if the truth hurt. You know, some of your comments, yeah, the truth hurt. But yeah, we appreciate it. We appreciate the analysis. Mike now teaming up with DraftKings, and they're doing awesome, awesome stuff. No doubt about it. And follow Mike Golic on Twitter. If you're not, you're one of the few people in the world not following him. He is just simply at Golic. He beat all the other Golics to that Twitter account. Thank you so much, brother. We had a blast, man. We appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, there you go. That is Mike Golic Sr. joining us here on the Mac Attack on FNZ. The way he phrased that McCaffrey-Ferrari thing versus him versus the truck is so true. It goes in line with what we've been told, Bone, behind the scenes. He's not comfortable pushing it through some of these injuries, right? Whereas you got a big old lineman that doesn't have to run and cut and, you know, it sucks,
If they could get him back to even 90% of the player that he was, what does that do for no matter who the quarterback is?
It would be amazing. You know, he dropped all the way out. Like Prisco did his top 100. He dropped all the way out of the top 100. Jeez. I know this stuff's motivating a man. God, I know he's motivated. His body just needs to cooperate. All right. When we come back, let's change it up a little bit, y'all. And by the way, we've got draft talk coming up here. Make sure you stay tuned. But when we come back, we cannot miss an opportunity to pay tribute to a man that did amazing things in business locally, in the racing industry. He's a NASCAR Hall of Famer. From a charitable standpoint around here, Bruton Smith passes away yesterday at the age of 95. We've got Doug Rice, who worked under him over there at the Speedway at PRN. He talks to us about Bruton Smith and what made him so special. It's next. It's the Mac Attack, Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.